We're taking a break in the book of Mark. We have been in the book of Mark, but I like to take a couple of breaks every now and then just to give us a little change of pace. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we talked last week about if we do the possible, God will do the impossible, meaning only God can save people's souls. But we must actually pray for people, and we need to share with people. And we're going to continue that a little bit this week. Has God really decided to use us in His purposes? Are we really an important part of God's plan? What would you do today if you got a phone call from a very prestigious company, and they said to you, "We want you to come work with us"? Let's say that Apple calls you, the phone company, or Harvard University calls you and says, "We want you to come teach here," or Oxford calls you and says, we would like you to come here and work. Great benefits, a long contract. How privileged would you feel if they asked you to come and work with them? Or better yet, what if you got a call from your home country and the leader of the country said to you, "We would like you to be an ambassador on behalf of our nation for a country in the world, such and such country"? How would you feel? Would you feel honored? Would you go and tell your friends? Would you post it on social media? Well, would you take the job, or would you at least consider it? I'm sure that you probably would. Well, consider this morning the reality of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We as Christians get the privilege of working with God. Now, these verses you know, and you've heard them, a lot of you have heard them a lot in your life, so it'll be very easy for you to just think, "Well, I know this," but I want you to think of this as the reality that we get to work with God. I'm going to read in verse 14, starting in verse 14. "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Working together with him, then, we appeal to you, Corinthians, not to receive the grace of God in vain. What is God doing in the world? What is he doing in the world? What is God working on? Verse 19 tells us very simply that God is reconciling the world to himself. not counting their trespasses against them. Now, if you know something about reconciliation, if my wife and I need to reconcile, it's because something bad has happened. We've had an argument or something has taken place. Reconciliation means that something has happened. Well, why is God reconciling the world to Himself? Because there's something that's wrong. There are what's called trespasses. Where I come from, in a place called Tennessee, where I come from, we have a lot of private property and we have a lot of guns. And so you'll see signs a lot of times like this. Actually, my home has a sign like this. It says, actually, my stepdad has a sign that says, if you can read this sign, you are in range. I mean, if you can see this, you can be shot right now. So, private property, no trespassing. What does trespassing mean? It means you cannot come here. You are not allowed to be here. We have trespassed against God. God is holy. His kingdom is holy, and we are not allowed to go there. We're not allowed because something's wrong. We have rebelled, we've broken trust, we've disobeyed, we've sinned. But yet God, in Jesus, is reconciling the world to Himself. He says, you are allowed, because of Jesus, you are allowed in my presence. You are allowed to have a relationship with me. In a sense, you are allowed onto my property. Well, how did God reconcile people to Himself? Just a little review here of the gospel, okay? Verse 21, it says, for our sake, He made Him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So, God wants to reconcile the world to Himself. There's a problem. It's trespasses. It's sin. It's offenses. And so God says, I'm going to take the sin. I'm going to take my sin. Here we go. I have to hold this button. I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to place it on Jesus. I'm going to transfer your guilt and your offense is over to Him on the cross. He's going to die for that. I'm going to punish Him. I'm not going to punish you. For their sake, He died and was raised. He died, He took away the sin. He was raised by God the Father due to Him having no sin. It wasn't right for Jesus to stay dead because He wasn't sinful. So God raised Him up. God transfers our sin over to Christ, and He transfers Christ's righteousness over to us. He gets our sin, we get His righteousness. Does that sound fair? All of the bad we've done is transferred over to Him, and all of His goodness is transferred over to us in God's sight. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone believes in Jesus and in that work that He did, if anyone believes in what He did on the cross, that's what it means to be in Christ. And He is a new creation. A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The transgression is gone. The trespasses are gone. And so we're now able and we're now welcome to enter God's kingdom. We're now able to enter His property, His kingdom. That's called the good news. That's called the gospel. God reconciling sinners to Himself through Jesus Christ. But that's not the whole story. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But that's not the whole story. God wants us to do something. What does He want us to do? God has allowed people who believe in Jesus the privilege of working together with Him in the world. Or else, when you become a Christian, He just take you to heaven, you're gone. Well, what is God doing? What does He want us to do? Number one, in the passage you saw, He wants us to be controlled by the love of Christ. Christians are to be controlled by the love of Christ. Verse 14, he says, the love of Christ controls us. Or maybe your translation says compels us, or impels us, or drives us, or constrains us. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died, meaning Jesus, for all. Therefore, all have died. All believers have now died to themselves. So, this love of Christ, what does he mean? What does he mean by the love of Christ? It's not the love that we have for Christ, but the love that Christ has for us. It's this. It is a love that takes possession of us. It's a love that takes possession of us so forcefully that it compels us to love other people in return. Put simply, he loved us, and because Jesus did that for us, now out of gratitude for his love for us, we now love other people. So that love controls us. Every day of our lives, we should be loving other people because of the love of Christ to us. Do we love people? Really love people? Love them in the way Christ loved us. When we were a rebel and a sinner, Christ loved us and died for us. We are to love that way. Number two, he says we are not to live for ourselves, but we are to live for Christ. Verse 15, he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake, him who for their sake died and was raised. Our lives are not ours. Did you know that? If you're a Christian, did you know your life is not yours? It's not yours to do what you want to do with it. It's not your choice to do this or do that. Jesus Christ calls the shots. He's the one who makes the decisions for our lives. That's what it means for him to be Lord. He's our boss. He says to this one, go, and he goes. He says to this one, come, and he comes. We are people under authority. We're dead. Scripture says you were bought with a price. Your life is not your own. We are dead. You, Christian, you are dead. You have no life except life in Christ. Your old life died with Jesus, and now your new life is life with Christ. Not to live for yourselves or for what you want to do or for what I want to do, but to live for Him. The love of Christ controls us, and we are not to live for ourselves. And then he gives a third thing. He says, we are to see people differently. I think this is definitely something in my life that I desperately need the Lord to do in me. He says, from now on then, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So the literal meaning here is to regard no one according to the flesh. But what it really means is, it means that we don't see people anymore from a human point of view. We don't regard people anymore as just, I regard this from a worldly point of view. It's this guy or that lady. We now see people differently. Because Christ's love controls us, and because we're not our own, we now see people differently. How do we see them? There are two types of people in the world. There are people who are new creations, and there are those who need to be reconciled to God. Those who know Christ, those who need to know Christ. those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ who also believe, and those who need to be adopted into the family. Do we see people that way? Do we see people from a worldly point of view? That guy's a jerk. Or I don't like him, or I don't like her, or do we see people as, no, that's just a person that needs to know Jesus. The love of Christ controls us. We don't live for ourselves any longer. As Christians, we see people differently. We're supposed to. We see them through the love of Christ. Fourthly, he says in this passage that we are ambassadors for Christ. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He says that we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the message of reconciliation. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is ambassador for Christ? He tells us, God making his appeal through us. Think about that. God is the King of Kings. He has a kingdom and he has a cabinet. He has ministers in his cabinet. And he has said to you, I want you to be a minister on my cabinet. And you say, oh, well, what is my job on this cabinet? Ministry of Transportation or Ministry of Education? And he says, no, Ministry of Reconciliation. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? He says, you're going to beg people. You're going to go throughout the world and you're going to beg people. And you're going to plead with them. You're going to implore them to be reconciled to me. Do you see, do you feel the weight of that? God, it says, has entrusted. Thank you very much for giving me that responsibility. He has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. God has chosen in his sovereignty to use people in the world. We are his ambassadors. Dasher. God making his appeal through us. I know you've heard that many times, but it's just a reminder today for us to take that in. That the King of the universe has appointed us to his cabinet. Minister of reconciliation, ambassador, making an appeal to others for his sake. Entrusting to us the message, imploring, begging, pleading with people on behalf of Christ. We talked about last week, we must do the possible, God will do the impossible. What is the possible that we must do? We must implore people and say to them, the God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. I plead with you on his behalf. Let him forgive your sins. This morning, I like to get up early. I live in the country park. It's very dark. The stars were glorious. I don't know if you saw the stars last night or if you saw the sunrise this morning. The stars were glorious last night. In the eastern sky, there's a crescent moon just above the horizon and Venus. Venus is just above that. It was glorious this morning. Absolutely glorious. And I was reminded as I was thinking about this passage, the person who spoke those into existence has asked me to be his representative. It's not just being a Christian. You understand? It's not about being a Christian. It's that the God of the universe, who spoke galaxies into existence and created the stars, says, I want you to be an ambassador for my sake. Luckily, my Bible did not get destroyed. Do you know who God has appointed to be his ambassador in your village? Who has God appointed to be an ambassador for him in your apartment building? You and me. Who has God appointed to be his representative at your workplace? Every Christian who's there. I think about that. I think about our village, and I think about the people living in our village, and just we're there. We're his ambassadors in our village. We're it. There's no other way. God has not made another way for people to know him. He has decided to use us. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, we are working together with him. That's a very, very simple sentence, isn't it? But wow, what a verse. Think about that. We are working together with him. We're not working for him. We're working together with him. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We're working together with him. So in your village, in your apartment building, at your office, at your high rise, you're not working alone there. You're working together with him. Lastly, going back to the beginning in chapter 5, verse 10. Lastly, so we are controlled by the love of Christ. We are not to live for ourselves. We're to see people differently. We are his ambassadors. And he says we are to persuade others out of fear of God. He starts off with that. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. So he says the reason he persuades people is because he fears God. I'm going to stand before God someday and give account of my life. And God's not going to wonder where I went to school. He's not going to wonder how many degrees I had. He's not going to wonder at all how much money I made or what kind of car I drove. He's going to want to know, what did you do with me? We will stand before Christ. We won't be judged for our sins. Our sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. But we will give an account to God for what we have done in this body as believers. That is our task, and that will always be the task of every believer until Jesus comes again. Every believer in all ages, in all cultures, we are his ambassadors. We all have the same passport. We're all citizens of the same kingdom. We may be from different tribes and nations and tongues in this room, but we all have the same passport. And that is, I'm a believer. We're working together with him. Imagine what would happen if we all lived for ourselves 0%? What if we lived for ourselves 0% this week? And we just said, you know, I'm going to meditate on the scripture, and just this week, I want to not live for myself. By the way, you're already dead. You must consider yourself dead and alive to God in Jesus Christ. What if this week you just said, at work, at home, at school, I am His ambassador. God, give me opportunities to do what's possible. God, give me opportunities to pray this week. Give me opportunities to share this week. He'll do the impossible, but we have to do the possible. Some of you in here today, I know, probably have never given your life to Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you, the gospel is very simple. He tells us here in this passage that if you believe, God will take your sin and He placed it on Jesus. If you believe that, and you believe that God raised Him from the dead, He says He will make you a new creation. He will give you a new life. He died on the cross for our trespasses. He was raised to life again. He is alive and He will come back. And He will judge the world. So which side will you choose? Which will you choose? Let's pray together. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus, I want to ask you this morning, which will you choose? Will you choose to follow Jesus Christ, or will you choose to live for yourself? And if you're a Christian this morning, I will ask you, which is more important, your earthly job or your heavenly job? Are you living as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, or are you just living? Heavenly Father, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit, if there's anything I've said today that's been hurtful or harmful or unuseful in any way, that You would just smooth over it and let it be forgotten today. But I pray that Your Word, the Scripture, would sink into our hearts and take root, and that it would grow and bear fruit. You would make us fishers of men. You would make us Your ministers of reconciliation, that You would make us Your ambassadors. Almighty God, take CBIBC, take this church, make us Your ambassadors. Let us persuade. Let us appeal. Let us plead with people to be reconciled to You. And we pray in Jesus Christ, because we believe in Him. We know You hear our prayers, Father. Amen.